From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, September 29th. I'm Abby Larico. Toxic algal blooms recently shut down the water supply of one Illinois town. With fertilizer runoff and warming temperatures, it's an issue more places could face.
That affects not just people's drinking water, but their ability to take medicines, their ability to shower, their ability to cook. So it really disrupted lives for residents, for businesses, for hospitals.
The costs of keeping toxins out of the water, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Contract negotiations will resume today for Boeing and the local machinists union. A federal mediator will join the two bargaining committees in the hopes of ending the strike that is now stretching into its ninth week. The two sides are back at the negotiating table after the union sent its own contract to Boeing earlier this month, which the company rejected. Last week, Boeing announced that it will move work on the Super Hornet fighter jet out of St. Louis County in 2026. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the state's new congressional map over the weekend, more than 2 weeks after Republican lawmakers passed it in a special session. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports.
Missouri followed Texas's lead in drawing a map that gives Republicans an advantage in more districts in what could be a tough midterm election for the GOP in 2026. Missouri's new map breaks up the Kansas City area 5th district of Democrat Emanuel Cleaver into three. That could give the GOP a chance to win 7 of the state's 8 seats, up from the 6 they currently hold. Kehoe said in a statement the map best represents Missourians who are, quote, more alike than they are different. The map is facing multiple legal challenges, and there is a chance it will not take effect at all. Opponents are already gathering signatures to force a statewide vote. If they are successful, the map would require voter approval. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The state of Missouri has published new language it wants voters to see as they decide whether to again restrict abortion rights in the state. Secretary of State Denny Hoskins filed the new wording on Friday as part of the legal fight over a measure that asks voters to ban abortion in the state, except in the case of rape or incest. Voters last year narrowly approved an amendment putting the right to an abortion up to fetal viability in the Constitution. A judge ruled that Hoskins' original language did not clearly state that the new ballot measure would eliminate that previously passed amendment. While the new language directly references the amendment, it does not specifically say most abortions would be illegal if the measure is passed. Hoskins says the new language reflects a commitment to protecting families while presenting clear and accurate information. The ACLU says it remains, quote, purposefully misleading. The new National Geospatial Intelligence Agency campus in North City is now open. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports on the $1.75 billion investment in the city that officials hope will be transformative for the region.
That's the opening bell for the new NGA campus in the St. Louis Place neighborhood. It marks the completion of a 6-year project to create a new 97-acre campus for St. Louis's 3,100 NGA employees who previously worked at the agency's Soulard location. Governor Mike Kehoe spoke at the opening ceremony. He says the new campus is a turning point for North City.
This is the catalyst, the opening of this building today, the rebuilding, to bring in the North St. Louis and the St. Louis community back. This is now our anchor point. This is our flag that we put in the ground. We are going to make that happen, and St. Louis is going to be better and bigger than ever.
NGA officials say they expect the transition to the new campus to be complete by spring. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
A historic apartment building overlooking the Arch downtown is getting a $195 million renovation. Developer New and Found aims to break ground on the Mansion House project soon, restoring the 29-story complex originally built in 1966. All 415 apartments will be upgraded during the redevelopment. Most units will be priced affordably to renters earning less than 80% of the area median income, according to developers. A HUD loan funds a portion of the project. New and Found previously redeveloped the Foundry Food and Shopping Hall in Midtown St. Louis, which had been vacant for about a decade. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer is pushing back on Sheriff Alfred Montgomery's bid to take over operations of the city jail. STLPR's Brian Munoz reports.
The sheriff floated the idea last week following a contentious court hearing on a city law requiring his office to transport all jail detainees needing medical care and to submit to year-long financial monitoring. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says Commissioner Nate Hayward was recently hired to lead the jail, and that she's shocked to hear Montgomery ask for more responsibilities when he's not fulfilling the ones she argues he's required to do.
To throw around who could take on that important role so cavalierly is really disrespectful to the important role that the director of the jail facility has to play.
Hayward declined to comment on the sheriff's proposal through a Department of Public Safety spokesperson. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Feast Magazine has been shut down. Owner Lee Enterprises canceled the food publication late last week and laid off managing editor Shannon Weber. Weber criticized the move on Instagram, saying Lee only cared about dollars. The 15-year-old magazine cut its print edition last year. Its sister publication, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, closed its local press and laid off staff around the same time. A Post-Dispatch spokesperson said the newspaper would continue to publish food content. For a total of 8 days in July, residents of the central Illinois town of Mattoon were told not to use their tap water. Harmful algal blooms in city reservoirs produce dangerous toxins, making the water unsafe for drinking, cooking, bathing, even dishwashing. The problem threatens water systems in other parts of the Midwest as well. Harvest Public Media's Jim Meadows reports.
An annual festival in Mattoon that circles around bagels was a little different this year. There was still live music and plenty of carnival rides, as well as bagels, of course, provided by a local commercial bakery. But this year, the water had to be trucked in. Food vendor Chris Walton says it didn't help that city officials went back and forth on a do-not-drink order.
As a matter of fact, some of our machines have all been sanitized, and then, of course, they put the order back in. So everything we did was for naught now, so we're going to have to re-sanitize everything, you know, that we're not using right now.
Elsewhere in Mattoon, the do-not-drink order forced restaurants to close or make do with paper plates and bottled water. Algal blooms in the city's two reservoirs had sent toxins into the tap water. Bacteria in the blooms produced dangerous levels of microcystins, a neurotoxin that can sicken and even kill people who drink, cook, or wash with it. Robert Hirschfeld is director of water policy with the Illinois-based environmental group Prairie Rivers Network. He says nitrogen and phosphorus runoff from farms are often behind the blooms.
I wouldn't say that there were no harmful algal blooms 100 years ago, but as we've tracked them, the frequency and severity has increased in recent years.
In 2023, Guthrie, Oklahoma had to switch its water source after an algal bloom affected one of its reservoirs. A massive bloom in Lake Erie left residents of Toledo, Ohio, unable to use their water for days in 2014. Environmental scientist Gregory Dick, who studies algal blooms at the University of Michigan, says the toxins from such blooms make water unusable.
That affects not just people's drinking water, but their ability to take medicines, their ability to shower, their ability to cook. So it really disrupted lives for residents, for businesses, for hospitals.
Toledo installed expensive sensors and carbon filtration to help make sure its water supply is clean. Such solutions will likely be needed in more towns and cities throughout the Midwest, Dick says, as algal blooms don't appear to be slowing down. But Keith Lofton, who studies algal blooms at the U.S. Geological Survey's Kansas Water Science Center, says it's difficult to know if the blooms have actually gotten worse.
Many claim that blooms are becoming more frequent, greater in magnitude, duration, and spatial extent. However, largely we lack robust, consistently collected data sets throughout modern times to make large sweeping national and global statements.
Back in Mattoon, the city council voted this summer to spend roughly $300,000 to buy a new reservoir water pump and spray algicide to control the algal blooms. City manager Kyle Gill says eventually they'll need to dredge their reservoirs to get rid of fertilizer-embedded silt.
We'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in the short term, but most of the long-term solutions are millions of dollars.
At the moment, Mattoon's water supply is okay. But after a new algal bloom appeared in Lake Mattoon in August, that reservoir's beach was closed for much of the month. I'm Jim Meadows, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.